message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and get in the Word of the Lord this morning. We've been talking about life changes and looking at different individuals in the Word of God who have had amazing encounters and have had their life changed. We're going to continue with that theme. 2 weeks ago, we started this with Simon, who eventually became Peter. The message was called, You Shall Be. Simon was rough cut, loud, crude. He was a fisherman, but he became a disciple and a leader of others for the glory of God. See, there's who you are, and there's who you can be. And God sees both of you. God sees you now, and God sees you up the road. Too often, we see ourselves now, and we let the devil beat us over the head with what we see. God sees the now, but God sees more than that, and God's working in you and for you to move you forward. Don't give up on God. He'll never give up on you. Amen? And then last week, a message was called Encounter, and we looked at the story of Jacob. Jacob was the deceiver, the fraud, the cheat. And this is while he's serving the Lord as well. But he has an encounter. It's an all-night wrestling match, a great struggle, and it resulted in a life change. And his name was changed to Israel. He went from deceiver, fraud, cheat to Israel, which means prince with God. Listen, God can change lives. Now, for Jacob, it was an all-night battle. You just got to know this. Some of your battles, we need to bear each other's burdens, but some of the battles you're going to have to win alone. And some of them may take a while. Don't you just love it when you come up from prayer and then God answers your prayer and you go back and you're just totally different by the time you sit down? I'm going to tell you, those are few and far between for me. Few and far between. It's kind of like medicine. You don't just take a pill and boom, your headache's gone. It takes a while sometimes, right? You don't just take one day of antibiotics and then quit. Give faith a chance. Give God's power a chance. Now, God can touch you immediately, but even with Jacob, it took all night. And then today, we're going to look at the story of yet another man who has an encounter with God is forever changed. We're going to look at the story of Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul the Apostle. You find his story in Acts chapter 9, and then you find it again in Acts chapter 22 as he is sharing his story with somebody else. He's giving his testimony. That's a good thing to do. So let's go to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at 9 verses. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, that's Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound in chains to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and his eyes were opened, and he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. We're going to title this message, All of a Sudden. Won't you bow with me? Let's pray one more time. Father God, we are grateful for your spirit and the power that you have to change lives. God, we refuse to believe that things can't change. You are real, you are alive, and you are in the business of changing things, especially people. Father, I pray for your anointing and the ability to share what you have put inside of me. May your spirit stir in every one of our hearts, and may we receive what we need today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you 3 things that I'm going to pull out of this passage. And this is Paul's story. And unlike Jacob's, it's not an all-night thing. In fact, it doesn't even happen at night. It happens about noon, right in the middle of the day, the sun straight up overhead, broad daylight. And the change is more immediate. You know, Jacob's, it was an all-night thing, and by the morning, he had received the blessing. But this is more immediate. There's no struggle. There's no fight. It all takes place kind of right there. Now, there's some stuff that happens after. You can read that later. But here's what you got to know. Not all change takes a long time or requires great effort. Now, last week, I was kind of singing the other side of that tune. It may take some time, and it may, but not all change does. And not all change is a struggle and a fight. God sometimes will just give you something, and it's like, wow, that was amazing. I've had that happen in my life. It's kind of like, I thought of this for an example. Childbirth. And probably most of you women in here, you've been there, done that. Done that for Teresa. Not everybody has 23 hours of labor. I know of some ladies, they barely got to the room before the baby was there. It was easy for them. I've heard ladies say that. Oh, it wasn't that big a deal. Teresa never said that. It was a big deal. So it's not the same for everybody. It's not the same every time. There is no formula that says it's always going to be this way. It may take an all-night struggle for you. It may take several nights. It may take a long time. Jacob had his issue of deceiving and fraud and cheat for a long time, for years. And then, boom, he was set free. But here we got Saul of Tarsus, and it's almost immediate. Three things. Number one, God can bring about immediate change to a person or situation. Simple statement, but very powerful. God has the ability to bring about immediate change to a person or situation. Because that is true, that should give you hope. Because you're praying about a situation. You're praying about somebody you love, maybe a family, friend. You need to know that God can bring change. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, we just read it. As Paul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, that's our key word for this point, suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. The word suddenly means quickly and often without warning. There may be an unexpectancy about it. See, Jacob's encounter last week was unexpected. Remember, he was attacked from behind and all of a sudden he's in a wrestling match. And the wrestling went through the night. But this is not an all-night fight. This is a first-round knockout fight. Y'all seen those, right? Some of you do the pay-per-view, and then your guy wins, but he wins in 17 seconds. You feel like you've been ripped off. It's a first-round knockout. Paul is thrown to the ground. The fight is over. There's no struggle. There's no all-night fight. It's done. But notice it says, as he journeyed, all of a sudden, it happened. He wasn't looking for it. He wasn't even praying for it. It just happened as he journeyed, surprise! It was a surprise party. As he journeyed, that phrase, here's what I want you to know. It's fine to come up here for prayer. We're going to give you opportunity to do that here in just a little while. Come up here for prayer. Let us pray for you. And maybe you'll get the answer before you sit down at your chair. But maybe you won't. But maybe tomorrow as you journey, maybe a few days from now as you journey. Some of you right now could stand up and share a little bit of your story, and there is an as you journey element to it. For me, there was an as I journey. I mean, I'm just doing my thing, and I decided to go to church because of an ad in the paper, and I came to church, and then all of a sudden, I'm on a different track. What happened? Not planned. Fairly quick as he journeyed. Your prayer request can be made here at the altar. It can be answered here at the altar. But sometimes we get this idea that I'm going to go to church and get prayed for. That's great. Come to church and get prayed for. If it's Monday, what are you going to do? Wait till Sunday? By the way, we have church on Wednesday. Just letting you know. Call somebody. Let them pray for you. But the prayer may just simply be, it may start with just getting your faith and your hope stirred up. And then as that begins to rise and as you journey, God will surprise you and do something. My friend, Donald Gibson, suffered with Crohn's disease for many years. He has shared that story here, but it's been a long time ago. And he was on staff at a church as a youth pastor, and every speaker that came in prayed for him. They always brought him to the front, prayed with him. He's had plenty of oil on him, plenty. It never came. He finally went to his pastor and said, could you quit praying for me? I'm good. For better or for worse, I will serve him. I will serve him if he heals me. I will serve him if he doesn't. That's a good attitude. And so 10 years later, as he was journeying in life, he was in a different state at a different church on staff. He's not at the church. He's at home. He's watching television. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit invaded the room where he was. He began to weep. He felt God's presence. His body began to grow warm. And then it concentrated, and it was just warm from here to here. He went to the doctor the next day, and the doctor said, I took your x-rays, but something's wrong. Let me take them again. And he said, the doctor, it ain't wrong. You can take them again, but you're going to find the same thing. It's not there anymore. He didn't have a small case. One doctor told him this, I've seen hundreds of these, and you're the worst I've ever seen. Thank you, doc. 10 years later, surprise. Listen, don't give up on God. God can bring about immediate change to a person or situation. It can happen quickly. Something you've been praying for a long time could happen quickly today, tomorrow. Paul was in the middle of his assignment doing life. And his assignment was this, capture and put in chains believers, those that are of the way, and bring them to Damascus, and we'll persecute and torch and kill them there. That was his job. Killing Christians, people like you and me. And then God meets him on the road and surprises him, and he's changed. God can bring about immediate change to a person or situation, no matter how dark the heart of that person may be, no matter how desperate that situation may be. God has the power to bring about change. Amen? Change is often gradual and systematic, but God has the ability to fast forward. Y'all like fast forward, don't you? Man, we are Americans. We like fast forward. We like microwave. We like easy. We like light. It's not always that way, but God can fast forward. Change is usually a process, usually step by step, but God can take big steps if he wants to. God can do a quick work if he chooses. Some of you were former smokers, and now you've been delivered and you're saving $300 a month. Praise the Lord. Your breath smells better. Your hair smells better. Your lungs look better. And I've heard testimonies of people. I remember one coming, and she said this. I went up the front. They prayed for me to be delivered from smoking. I raised my hands. He prayed, said amen. I never touched it again. It was so easy. And then there's somebody else getting bitter, needing to pray about their bitterness because they heard her say it was so easy. Because their story was this. Yeah, I've been delivered from smoking too. They prayed for me, and man, I wanted a cigarette all day. And many people had to stop the way they start. When you start, it's not easy. You cough and hack your way to becoming a smoker. And so sometimes you have to make the effort to become one, and sometimes you have to make the effort like Jacob and wrestle all night or several days to become not one. But then there are those times that God just does a fast-forward work and it's done. We're going to pray today for fast-forward things. We're going to pray for suddenlies. And if you come up here and earlier I told you, what is that thing at the top of your list? We want to pray for that today. And maybe God will do a fast-forward work. Wouldn't that be awesome? What if he doesn't? God is still good. And God still has the ability to bring change to any person or any situation. God can do a quick work if he chooses. God is killing Christians, bringing them bound in chains to persecution and death. And all of a sudden, now he's not. It wasn't gradual. It wasn't, you know, the one who prayed to quit smoking, they smoked a few more. It wasn't, you know, Saul killed a few more believers and finally got delivered. No, it was done. All of a sudden, he's not doing. I know people that have been on drugs, have been on alcohol, and been delivered, and all of a sudden, they're not. For me, I was on one road, showed up to church, and all of a sudden, I'm on a different road. All of a sudden. I appreciate all of a sudden works. God is in charge of the suddenlies. God can dish out suddenlies as he pleases. And I would tell you that if God gives you one, take it. And you're thinking, well, of course. Well, yeah, but think about this. How many times have someone you've known, certainly not you, but someone you've known been in church, and then the message goes forth, song service, and by the end of church, they're convicted, gripped with conviction, God's Spirit upon them, speaking to them, dealing with their heart, and they have the opportunity for prayer and to take another step, and they don't take it. I'll deal with it later. That might have been your suddenly. I have a friend, lives in Florida now, good friend of mine, many years before Jesus, so we did things together that I don't do now, not sure about him. But he was convicted by God before I was. And he shared his story with me before I came to this church and got saved. And I looked at him and thought, well, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about? And then it happened to me. And I called him and I said, wow, you were exactly right. By then, though, he had backed up. This is what he told me one day. He said, I know enough about the Bible now. I know enough about end times that if I start seeing them things happen, I can fix my life. I can get my life right. Can I just tell you something? If the window of opportunity is open, you ought to go through it. Well, I'll just do it later. That window may not be open later. See, you act like you can just decide when you want to. I don't know that you can. I think about Esau. Esau came back later looking and seeking for repentance. And the Bible says through tears he sought for repentance and didn't find it. The door was closed. You got to get on the ark while the door is open. See, God closed the door to the ark. It's too late to get on now. There's a place in Revelation, in the latter part of the book, where it says that God gave space to Jezebel to repent. Gave her space, gave her opportunity. In other words, opened the door for her, and she didn't take it. And the door closed. For Esau, the door closed. So that's what I'm talking about. If God gives you a suddenly, if God deals with you, take it. Go through the door. God can dish out suddenlies as he pleases, but let me say something else. I believe your continued prayers, your relationship with the Lord, can also open a door to a suddenly. And by suddenly, I don't always mean spiritual. Maybe job, maybe relationship. If you're persistent, there's something about persistence. And I believe it works for those that don't know Jesus as well. If you're persistent, eventually you'll knock on a door and it will open. Eventually you'll find that job. You may be single thinking, man, I'm tired of being single. This is going to be forever. You don't know. It might be a quick work. Come next week, you might be sitting by somebody in this very church that you don't even know right now. You don't know what God might do. As Paul journeyed, did y'all get nervous on the single part? I'm not trying to get y'all all connected. God can fast forward you. You're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're going to church, nothing is happening. And then all of a sudden, God does a quick thing. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. The Bible makes it clear it was the midnight hour. It's a dark moment. And listen, their prison, it doesn't have a TV with all the channels. Their prison is, I'm on chains, I'm against the wall. And they begin to sing. That's Paul's idea, not Silas. That's just the way I read it. I kind of picture Silas like me. Would you quit singing, man? I'm tired. They begin to sing. And this is what the Bible says. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. All of a sudden, the earth began to shake and the doors flew open and they were free. It didn't look good. They didn't feel good. But they decided to sing praises to their God, not as long as it feels good, not as long as I know the song, not as long as anything, as long as I live. And right now, I'm alive, I'm in chains, I'm in a dungeon, it's not good, but I do have breath. I'm going to go ahead and use it, not to whine, not to complain, but I'm going to use it to praise my God. And then suddenly, things changed. All of a sudden. I believe the prayers of others can help bring about a suddenly in your life. When I told my uncle about my salvation, he said there was a night that didn't go by, he didn't get on his knees and pray for me. I believe he had much to do with my suddenly. There is a big suddenly that's going to come one day. The Bible says this, that one day the Lord will return, and it uses the word suddenly. Quickly. What that means is, it's not a build up. It's not that, hey, look, the Lord's, he's stepping up. Hey, he stood up. Here comes the Lord. He's walking over to the place where he's going to descend. Oh, here he comes. The Lord is returning. Hey, I just thought I'd give you a call. I know you said if you ever saw the Lord coming, you'd go ahead and get your life right. Well, it'd be a good time. He's about halfway here, man. But he started from the third heaven, so he's got a ways to go. You got some time. Hurry up. I got to call some other people. No, it's not a gradual return. It's sudden. Boom, it's done. We're in heaven. It's just sudden. It may take a long time to get there, but when it gets there, it's going to be sudden. God has the power to bring immediate change to a person's life, and he can bring immediate change to your situation. The second thing I want to talk about this morning, no one has perfect vision when it comes to truth, but some can't see it all. Acts chapter 9, verse 8. Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. His eyes are open, but he can't see. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people whose eyes are open and they can't see. I want two parts to this point. I want to talk about totally blind and partially blind. Let's talk about the totally blind, the second half of that point. Some can't see at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. We're not going to put this on the screen, but you might want to mark it down, go to it later if you'd like to. Paul says this. The same Paul who was killing Christians wrote this for us, all right? If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age, the devil, the enemy, has blinded their minds. Now, just in case you're thinking, oh, no, you see with your eyes. Actually, you don't. You see with your mind. The eye is the window. It's where the light comes in. But it's the mind. And their minds are blinded. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. What I want you to know from this verse is that there is a real spiritual blindness that exists. It's not just because Amazing Grace says, once I was blind and now I see. That truth in that song is based on Scripture. Not just this verse, but other verses as well, but this verse too. Now, the reason I want to bring this up is because there is a real spiritual blindness that exists, and if we will remember this, it will help us with our attitude towards those who are blind, towards those who aren't a part of the way, a part of the church, God's kingdom, Christians, however you want to call it. You know, we're supposed to hate the sin. See, you know. I've asked this before, I'll ask it again. How many of you have blurred that line before? Yeah. Yeah. I'm hating the sin, but I'm kind of hating on that person right there too. There's just certain people that get on me quick, suddenly. I don't watch The View. If you've never heard of The View, don't go look it up. I can't watch that. I program my VCR. What's that? What's that? I programmed the program one time to record because I did want to see it. And it was after Donald Trump was elected, I recorded the next day's episode because I wanted to watch it and just kind of gloat. That's not Jesus, but that was me. Yeah, we're supposed to love the sinner. When you find yourself crossing the line, hate the sin, love the sinner, you got to remember they're blind. You can't blame a blind man for not seeing. Listen, we got three dogs now. Had two for a long time, two brothers, Skipper and Riley. Riley gets up under my feet, he gets in trouble. Skipper gets up under my feet, he gets mercy. Skipper is blind. I don't expect Skipper not to get it. He don't see. He gets to barking and the threats over here, and he's barking over here. He's confused. So he gets up under my feet. One time I caught my, hey, what do you get? Oh, it's okay. But for Riley, hey, you ain't got no excuse. You can see. You can't blame a blind person for not being able to see. This is videos old. I remember when years ago somebody brought it up, and it's a video of a girl, and she's walking through like a town square or something. There's this fountain going off, and it's got a little brick wall, and she's texting while she's walking. And she tripped over that wall and fell into the fountain. Now, see, as I was sharing that story, Riverwalk went through my mind. Because I have fallen in the Riverwalk at San Antonio. See, now I got to go there. I was not texting. I was doing scripture. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So I'm looking up. And then as I looked down, I was kind of like this. I was committed, and in I went. See, y'all are laughing at me. Why? What if I was blind and I fell in the river wall? Hey, did y'all hear a pastor fell in the river? Oh, my God, is he all right? You would have a totally different reaction if I was blind. But I'm not. Hey, did you hear the pastor fell in the river wall? So what's the point? The point is the people that you're frustrated with and mad with because they're doing things, they're blind. They're doing the things blind people do. Why are you mad at them? I'm not the only one to fall in Riverwalk. Because I asked a guy, has anybody else ever fallen? Oh, he said many. They're usually drunk. So maybe I'm the only sober person that's fallen in. I don't know. So when you find yourself frustrated with others, consider this. They don't know what you know. They don't know who you know. Jesus prayed this from the cross as they were torturing him, as they were mocking him, ridiculing. If I was Jesus on the cross and they were doing that to me, that's why I ain't Jesus. I'd be like, Lord, get that lightning bolt. You know, the one with the red tip. Jesus looked at him and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They're blind. They're tripping over the wall. They're falling into the river. They can't help themselves. They're blind. They thought they were right when they crucified Jesus. But the thing is, they just didn't know. Saul thought he was doing a good thing whenever he was capturing believers and persecuting them. He thought he was right. He thought it was a good thing. Do you know there are people right now, leaders of our nation, that are doing things that are totally contrary to God's word? And they think they're doing a good thing. They think they are right. Saul thought he was doing good. He was capturing, persecuting believers, those of the way. Jesus said, I am the way. You are a person of the way if you're a follower of Jesus. But to some, you are in the way. You're an obstacle. You're an obstacle to their agenda. You won't bow down to what they want. You continue to hold on to this antiquated book called the Bible. You continue to spout your nonsense that marriage ought to be a man and a woman. You continue to state in a ridiculous fashion that abortion should not be right. They see you as in the way. You are declared hateful and intolerant just because you have a particular belief. Do you know that? You disagree with something, you're racist. Man, the race card is thrown all the time, isn't it? You stand in the way of their progress. But here's the thing. Pray for them. Vote. Do your thing. But remember, they don't know. They're blind. Sinners sin. They think they're doing right. Just keep that in mind. It'll give us more compassion, more grace, more mercy. So that's the second part of the point. Some can't see it all. Let's look at the first point, the first part of the second point. No one has perfect vision when it comes to truth. Just because you're a part of the church, just because you've been saved, your eyes have been opened, you see now, it doesn't mean you have perfect vision. I want to go to another of Paul's writings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Paul said this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know as I am known." Did you catch that? There's a now thing going on, but then. Now I know a little, then I'll know it all. Now listen, hopefully you're growing and you're getting revelation and you're getting insight and you know more now than you did when you first got in. But if you're like me, the more I study the Bible, the more answers I get and the more questions I get. And it's like I always have more questions than I do answers. But I'm growing, but I will never get to the point where it's like, whoo, I know all the answers. It's like I saw a meme once, and it was this guy, and he's sitting back in the chair, and he's, whoo, what is it, honey? I made it. Got to the end of the internet. Finally exhausted the, no, you'll never do that. And you'll never have perfect vision when it comes to truth. There's a song written a long time ago that says, "I can see clearly now." Well, you can't. 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says you can't. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter if you're spirit-filled, paying your tithes, giving a missions offering, going to church all the time. You don't have perfect clarity. You may have more insight than this person, and certainly you have more sight and vision than the person that is blind, because some are blind and can't see at all, but no one has perfect vision when it comes to matters of the truth. With my experience, I remember this. When my eyes were open, and it really was an opening of the eyes for me. I'm not saying it's the same way for everybody, but mine was kind of a sudden thing, and all of a sudden, and I testified to this at church the next time I showed up, and I didn't even know what testimony was. I figured it out. Pastor said, "You want to testify, anybody?" Somebody stood up and did that. Somebody stood up. I said, "Oh, that's what we're doing." And I'm not one to get up and stand in front of people, but man, it was just wanting to get out. And I remember these words. I said a lot of words, but I said something. My eyes were open and I saw two worlds. I'd never seen two worlds before, but now I saw two worlds and I was in the wrong one. And now I'm in the right one. There was an opening of the eyes for me, but I don't see 100%. My vision can improve yet, but there will always be limitations until face to face, until the then moment when we shall know as we are known. Let me, before I go to this third point, I want to give you a quick little relationship tip, kind of step out of the vein of the message and just throw this in here. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. "Every way of man is right in his own eyes." Translation: we all think we're right. That's why husbands and wives argue. Husbands, you're wrong. That's why countries go to war. Because I think I'm right, and he thinks he's right. So we fight, and we clash. Everybody thinks they're right. So here's the relationship tip. Consider. Just consider. Maybe you're wrong. Just consider it. Just entertain that wild idea. Husbands, look at your wife now and tell her, "Honey, consider that you're wrong." Oh, man, if y'all followed through on that, I'm sorry. I just set you up for a bad afternoon. Consider in your marriage that maybe you're not right. Maybe she is right. Consider in that relationship with a friend or whoever that maybe you're part of the problem. Consider that while I'm preaching, maybe it's not for somebody else that should have been here. Man, I wish so-and-so was here. They really needed that. Not me. Just toy with the idea that maybe, just maybe, you're wrong. All right, that's the relationship tip. So none of us have perfect vision, but there is a world out there that cannot see it all, and part of the reason you're here is for them. So quit being mad at them. Quit cursing them. Start praying for them. And let's believe for salvation. Let's pray that some big known leader that's killing us has a road to Damascus experience like Saul of Tarsus, and all of a sudden, they're changed. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, they're going to lose their job on CNN, but that's okay. Paul lost his job of killing and persecuting. God had a better one for him. Amen? All right, the final point. This is going to be brief. You'll see more clearly when you hear his voice. Acts chapter 9, verse 4, it says, Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice. Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Paul says this, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a good response to the Lord's voice. Just another little side note. The Lord tells him, go to this city over here, and then I'll tell you what to do. So he says, what do you want me to do? And the Lord tells him what to do. Go to this city, and then I'm going to tell you more to do. It's a journey of steps. Sometimes we want the third step, and God's trying to tell you to take the first step. When you take the first step, then the second step is more clear. Saul can't see. He's blinded by this light, but he can hear, and what he is hearing is going to help him see better than he's ever seen before. God's voice can help us to see. Maybe God blinded Saul in order that he would hear more clearly. It's been proven that when you lose one sense, the others get sharper. So Paul heard clearly. Paul was one way, heard God speak, and then was completely a different way. What Paul heard changed his life. Do you know what you hear this morning has the potential to change your life? It's not all about what I'm saying. It's about what God speaks through me or what God does through the worship. What God just does while you're sitting in the chair. One word from God can change your life. Peter walked in the water. It wasn't the water that he was walking on. It was the word that the Lord gave him. Come. That's what he walked on. We need God's voice. We need to hear him. But then we need to respond. Paul heard a voice and he said, what do you want me to do? You have a part. You got to cooperate with the God that's working in you. It changed Paul's life. This was in chapter 9, right? This experience, chapter 9. Four chapters later. Don't know exactly how much time, but four chapters. Chapter 13, verse 10. This is Paul. The guy who was killing Christians. The guy who was persecuting the church. The horrible, mean guy. The murderer runs into a sorcerer, and he says this to the sorcerer, you're a child of the devil. You're an enemy of everything that is right. I'd be like, who are you to talk? That's who you are. No, that's who I was, but my life's been changed. Again, there's who you was, but then there's who you are and who you're going to be. Paul's been changed. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4, 3, 4. I'm going to give you the rest of the verse. I only read part of it last time. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and then it goes on to say, who do not believe, lest the light, catch that word, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Remember, when Paul got converted, there was a light that shone on him. Now he's talking about these that are blind, they don't believe, they need the light to shine on them. This light that Paul experienced was brighter than the sun. You do know that. It happened at noon. Have y'all ever done this, taken a candle that's lit and walked out into the sunlight? It doesn't look like the candle's burning. If it's a bright sunny day, and then you stick your finger there, it's burning. The sun dwarfs and envelops that light on that candle. That's how bright the sun is. This light did to the sun what the sun did to the candle. Paul is blinded by this light. He's blinded for 3 days. At the same time, he's seeing better than he's ever seen before. So the light that is blinding is also the key to better vision. I'm going to give you a final verse, Psalm 119, verse 130. 119, verse 130, book of Psalms. Remember this, the light that is blinding is also the same light that is the key to better vision. Light, the key word, light. Psalm 119:130 says this, the entrance of your words, remember Paul heard a voice, the entrance of your words gives light. When you read God's word and it enters, listen, you can read it like a book and not get anything. But when you read it and it penetrates, it enters, it gives light. And when it gives light, you begin to see a little clearer, more clarity. Listen, whenever you can't see that iPad, crank up the light, right? More light, more vision. His words are light. More of him, more of his voice, more of you cooperating with him, more vision for you. Suddenlies are great. But until then, let God's word change you day by day and be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. In just a moment, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for suddenlies. But if your suddenly doesn't happen, be faithful and renew your mind. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you come up here and you're not blinded by the light with a suddenly change in your life. Crack open your Bible later today. Be faithful tomorrow. And let his words begin to penetrate you. And let the light come on a little bit more, a little bit more. Let it increase. Let it get brighter in your life. If you're just looking for the quick fix, you probably ain't going to get it. We want to be more like him. And rejoice in every suddenly that you get, every jump that you get. But for the most part, it's going to be day by day. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may his peace be yours today.